Hey guys, welcome to my podcast. My prayer is that you are encouraged, transformed, and equipped through each episode.
Hi, I'm Helen Maese. We're here with Apostle Patty Valenzuela for the Apostle Patty Valenzuela podcast. And I am excited to talk about this.
Yes.
We just had an amazing service. I can't even explain what just happened right now. But I love the message. It's about the desert.
Yes.
So I want you to tell us about the desert in people's lives, because I know in my life there's been multiple deserts, but it almost feels as if they don't end.
Yeah.
But you get out of it and then there's another one.
Yeah.
Because you're never kind of where you want to be.
Yeah.
But I think what a lot of people need to understand is that it's there for a reason.
Yeah.
And so I love the message. So if you want to
talk about it.
Yeah.
So this message was given to me. The Lord spoke and he said that a lot of people are coming out of Egypt. And so they're entering into a promised land. So it's the desert is really the middle of your life. It's the part where you're waiting on God to do something in your life. And a lot of people are in that place right now where you really haven't attained the promise. You haven't really reached the promised, you know, land, if you will, or whatever it is that you're waiting on God, be it family, salvations, be it multiplication of something in your life, economic, a career, et cetera, et cetera. So the desert's really like that middle place. And so I was sharing out of chapter 21 in the book of Genesis, and I think we always see Ishmael, Hagar, in a negative connotation. It kind of has a negative connotation to his name. You know, when you think of Ishmael, you think of, oh, Sarah didn't wait on the promise of Jacob, you know? And so here's Ishmael, who's like this horrific kid, I guess, that, you know, Hagar had, and because it wasn't the promise of God. But I kind of took a spin on it because I was really studying chapter 16 and I was studying chapter 21. And when you see chapter 21 and in 16, how God speaks of Ishmael and how God speaks of Hagar. And so when God speaks of Hagar, he doesn't speak to her. He visits her. She's in a desert, the desert of Beersheba, in chapter 21 of the book of Genesis. And she finds herself in a desert because, you know, she needs to go. She's got to leave. You know, and we'll leave that for part two, why she had to go. And so she ends up leaving. God speaks to Abraham, and God tells Abraham, your son Ishmael's going to be okay. Give Hagar some food, give her some bread, give her some water, and send them off. And so they leave. Ishmael leaves, and Hagar leaves. They're in the desert, and it's in the desert. So I talk about the desert. It's in the desert where they run out of water. And sometimes when we are in deserts, you know, we go through famines. We go through lack. The desert is really the place where you see the doors closed. The desert's really that place where nobody's calling you. You feel very alone. You feel like your life couldn't get any worse. Yeah. You feel like there's a drought. There's an economic famine, if you will. Things are not pleasant for you. The desert is that place where you scroll through your social media. Seems like everybody's like getting their breakthrough except you. The desert's really that place where your life doesn't seem pleasant. Your life doesn't look very appetizing. If, you know, you see other people and they're like, oh, you know, they have a better life than I do. You know, and so that's the desert. So what happens in this desert in chapter 21, Hagar's funny to me because Hagar, you know, the angel of the Lord appeared to her. So she wasn't really a horrific woman. You know, she was a really good servant to Sarah. I mean, she had her flaws. But I think we don't talk enough of her in this sense that the angel visited her. So obviously the hand of God was upon Hagar's life. And so when the angel of God visits Hagar twice, mind you, but in chapter 21, that's the second time, she runs out of water. She thinks her son's going to die. She thinks Ishmael's going to die. So she says, Ishmael, you sit right there. I'm going to leave you. She walks off, leaves, runs away, and says, because my son's going to die. And, you know, I don't want to see you die. And so she ends up walking away. When she walks away, the word of the Lord says that the angel showed up. And the angel says, what are you doing, Hagar? And then she says, well, we're going to die. We have no water. And then he said, oh, Hagar, didn't I promise you? Didn't I tell you that Ishmael is going to be great? He's going to be a great nation. And so sometimes we look at Ishmael from a really negative you know, negative view. And we think that Ishmael's just an awful guy. But studying Ishmael, he was actually, through the Ishmaelite descendancy, helped Joseph actually get to Egypt. And had it not been for the Ishmaelites, Joseph would have never attained, you know, even his promise. And so, in the story, and I know that a lot of people liked it for different reasons, but in the story, I love what the angel does. The angel opens Hagar's eyes. Yeah. She was blind, and she sees a fountain. The fountain was always there. She just couldn't see it. So I talk about spiritual blindness, and I think that there's a lot of that going on.
Yeah.
And it happens to all of us. And it's the place where all you see is the bad. All you see is the door closed. All you see is what others did to you. All you see is the horrific things you went through. And you can't see that there's a fountain. So I go on to say, Helen, that when you are in a desert and you're blind spiritually and you can't see, you actually are prohibiting yourself from receiving and attaining the unlimited resources that God has already provided in a desert. And so the lack of vision in our lives, not being able to see what the provision of God in the desert or the blessings of God, because it's in the desert that God opens your eyes, that in that desert, we ourselves are keeping ourselves from receiving and attaining all these incredible blessings that God has for you. So we see things in a bad light as opposed to seeing it from, well, God, show me the fountain. So I say to everybody watching and listening, next time you have a difficulty, ask God to show you, open your eyes and to show you the fountain. There's always provision.
You know, and you said something so amazing. When Hagar left Ishmael and walked away from, I felt like the Holy Spirit just showed me, like, that's, you know, how many people have, that was their calling.
Wow.
That was what God had promised them. And they just left it to die because they thought it was going to die anyway. Because they couldn't see the provision in the well. They couldn't see it. So they walked away from it and it died. And, this is just, that's amazing.
A lot of revelation.
A lot of revelation in that.
Because you can really take it on where maybe you don't have an actual kid, right. You know, Ishmael, maybe so. But she was already planning a funeral for Ishmael that had never occurred.
Yeah.
Sometimes we plan our defeat that has not even occurred. Sometimes we plan our own failure and it hasn't even occurred. We already set in our minds something that hasn't even occurred yet. And so it's important to understand, and I love God. He's such a patient God to us. Yeah. You know, even then the angel had to descend again. Now this is really important to discuss because what provoked the angel from coming to Hagar's life? And so I say it, if you read the story in chapter 21 of the book of Genesis, what provoked the angel to come down from heaven, to come and open up Hagar's eyes, was the cry of Ishmael. And the Bible says he cried out. It's important to discuss that. Because he cried out to God. But that word cry out doesn't mean that he was crying because he had a pity party. You know, God doesn't hear the cries of our pities, you know, pity parties. He hears the cry in faith. I can only imagine his cry. The Bible says Hannah cried out to the Lord. Jeremiah 33:3 says, cry unto the Lord, cry unto me. And the Bible says that he will hear you and he will show you great things. And so David said, I cried to the Lord and he heard me. And so there's a certain cry that's full of faith that God will hear you. And God hears that cry inside. And I think that it's important for the body of Christ to understand that when you are in a desert, you have to, number one, have really clear eyesight. And if you don't, ask the Holy Spirit to show you, to reveal to you what's really there. The desert's not meant to destroy you. The desert's not meant to kill you. The desert is meant to show you who God is. Every man and woman in the Bible went through a desert, had heard of God before going into the desert. When they're in the desert, they got to know God. So they went from hearing about God to knowing God. In the desert is when we get to know God, that he really is provider, that he really is who he said he was. That's our God. So I think our spiritual vision has to be really clear. He opened her eyes, think about that, and she saw a fountain that was already there. Think of how many things are already there. Yeah. Because the Bible says that God goes before you. Wow. And so he's already provided something for Helen. It's already there. Yeah. So your eyes have got to see it. That's why everything's done in faith. Yeah. Wow. That's why he said, by faith, you are healed. By faith, your faith healed you. He would tell that to the people all the time. So in the desert is your provision. Unlimited resources. You know, God did not rain manna in Canaan, the promised land. It only rained manna in the desert. Wow. It is in the desert that you will see unlimited, and the hand of God, unlimited resources. Wow. But our eyes have to see it.
So true.
So I said this. This is powerful. Poverty is not lack of money. Poverty is lack of vision.
Wow.
So I can give somebody with vision, I said it, $10,000. And by the time we're done with them, a year later, they've multiplied it, quadrupled it.
That's true.
But you take somebody, give them $10,000 with no vision, and they eat it up.
Very true.
So I think it's really key for us to have our eyes open.
Wow.
What ministered you the most in this whole thing?
I think I love the aspect of, we have never really seen that situation with a good light.
That's good.
But the fact that God's hand has always been upon it.
Yeah.
And you know, even, I mean, his grace and mercy extends to everybody. I don't care who you are, and just the fact that, there's provision for everybody. Something that ministered me is my husband is kind of going through that moment right now.
Yes.
You know, and we all are.
Yes.
But he's on the verge of something else.
Yeah.
But he was sad yesterday because he's not there.
Yeah.
And I told him, I'm like, you know what you would tell me? You would tell me, go pray. So that's what you gotta pray. But it just opened up my eyes more to see that it's there.
Yeah.
You have to have the vision.
Yes.
And when you have the vision, it turns into the tangible that God has.
There you go.
Has for you.
You know, spiritual blindness breeds depression. Spiritual blindness breeds frustration.
Yeah.
Whenever you're frustrated, you're blind.
Wow.
Whenever you're depressed, you're blind. Whenever you doubt, you're blind. But when you can stand up and just go, my God's got this. You are seeing something that others don't. And that makes us crazy to other people.
Yes.
Because I say this, while everybody's throwing a fit, you're not. You're rejoicing.
Yeah.
And people will look at you like, what is wrong with you, girl? I mean, we know your story. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yes, the same story that you know, you got to know the God I know.
Yes.
Because he's got it. And so in our transitions in the desert, that's why I want the people to understand that it's in the deserts we grow the most, you know. And I think just opening up our eyes spiritually, asking the Holy Spirit, you know, and seeking him. God, show me. I want to see it in the spirit realm. You know, Helen, I want to pray for people that maybe are going through something right now. Yes. Maybe you feel like you're in a desert and it feels like you're in a famine, maybe a family famine, economic famine. I know that. You know, I've had my share of famines and deserts. And, you know, something that you have to hold on to is the word. If anybody, or at any point, you have to believe it's in the desert. I'm going to pray that your eyes open.
Yes.
I'm going to pray that you are becoming enlightened. And that you cry out to a living God who's real, who's got you. So, Helen, I want you to pray for the people today.
All right. Well, I really believe that God is going to do something amazing. So really just give it to him in the desert.
Yes.
And so, Father, we come before you, my God,
yes.
And we thank you first and foremost,
yes,
Father,
God.
Because you have our lives in your hand,
yes.
Father. You have everything that you have planned out for
yes.
us. You have already worked it out. And in every problem that comes around, Father, you have worked it out, my God. And everything that comes to set us back, you have worked it out, Father.
Yeah.
So we thank you, my God. But I want to pray right now, Father God, for every person that feels deserted,
yes.
that feels alone, that sees nothing but dryness around them, Father.
Yeah.
Right now, we speak life into that
yes.
area, Father, that you will remove the blindfolds from their eyes, Father,
yes.
so that they can see the well that's in front of them, Father, so
yes.
that they can see the provision that you have given them in this
yes.
time. In the name of Jesus, Father, we ask that you just go into every heart right now, every heart, that you will soften it, Father, that
yes.
you will change it, my God, that you will bless them, Father,
yes.
as they humble themselves, Father, as they trust you, Father, as they are willing to trust you in this, my God, in the name of Jesus, I declare right now that every blindfold is being removed, that they will be able to see, Father, what you have for them, my God. I thank you, yes. Father, and that they will not look at themselves and their situation, Father, as a setback, Father God, but rather a stepping stone in the right direction, my God. That they will be encouraged in this desert, my God. In the name of Jesus, I bind every thing that is bringing depression in the name of Jesus. Yes. And Father, we call it joy, my God, yes. A joy as they sing, as they shout, as they go about with a joy in their life, that the peace, Father, that you are starting to make a way, my God, and that you will show them and give them wisdom, Father, yes. To multiply everything that you have for them, Father. We just ask and we just thank you in the name of Jesus.
Amen. We are so glad that you guys tuned in. I want to remind everybody for our women's conference is coming up September the 6th and 7th. Yes. And tickets are on sale now, but they're going quickly. I was at a gathering yesterday as one of the conferences, and there were some pastors that are coming and some other churches are coming. And so it's going fast. You need to sign up quickly. So please, I encourage you to do that. And thank you. Thank you for watching these podcasts. We pray that they've been a blessing to you, and we will see you all next time.
Hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you would like more content, a link to all of our social media will be provided in the description. And as always, subscribe and hit the notification button to get new uploads. And be sure to like and share. Until next time.